All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 150 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. And in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about seed sowing. And my text is going to be taken from the book of Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. I'll read it again. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So what does it mean to sow a seed? Literally, sowing a seed just means putting something in the ground in the hope or in the expectation of a good return. That's literally what seed sowing is. You put something in the ground with the hope or expectation of a good return. Now, in today's podcast, I want to discuss some biblical ideas related to seed sowing. And I really trust God to teach us certain important points as we go along. The first thing is, as we've seen in the Bible, God literally said, as long as the earth remains, whenever you sow a seed, a harvest will come. So the first question you need to ask yourself is, what kind of seed are you sowing? Are you sowing good seeds or are you sowing bad seeds? The life you have now, the current life, your present reality, is a function of the seeds that you sowed in the past. And honestly, your future will be a function of the seeds you are sowing right now. So, in a sense, you can determine the kind of future you want by the kinds of seeds you're sowing right now. In fact, it's not a matter of being blessed or being cursed. You can literally predict what your future will look like. Just ask yourself, what kinds of seeds am I sowing right now? If you know you're sowing good seeds, then as long as you're on the side of the Lord, you don't have to worry about it. Your future will be all right. But if you know you're sowing bad seeds, it's not a curse. Your future probably will not go well. The Bible says, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. You can make such bold statements. You can make such bold proclamations because you know that you're sowing those right seeds of righteousness in the present. Now, what's another idea that I think you should also keep in mind? Make sure that you're sowing good seeds. Don't sow bad seeds. I'm telling you, don't start something you cannot finish. If you sow a certain, as you're sowing a seed, ask yourself, am I willing, am I ready to deal with the harvest, the inevitable harvest when it comes? So put thoughts to your actions. Don't just do things, I feel like doing it. Ask yourself, this thing I'm about to do is a seed. What's the outcome of it? What is the outcome of this thing I'm about to do? If you know that the outcome is good, then go ahead and do it. But if you know that this thing is not going to end well, don't even start. The third thing I want to discuss is that many times the harvest is much greater than the seed that was sown. So certain big outcomes can come from very small actions, very small commitments, very small seeds that were sown. So you see some people that, for example, are addicted to some drug or have some bad habit addiction. Let's say they're addicted to pornography or sexual immorality. It did not start off as them being like really, really bad people. No. It was probably just one thing they did. And then they saw the pleasure from it. And then they kept doing it. Let me tell you something. Addictions are like kids. When you start, it looks small and harmless. But over years, over time, it compounds and becomes a huge, massive problem. That's the thing. Addictions, bad habits, they compound over time. That's one thing that time really does well. It applies the power of compound interest. So just make sure, again, because what you think may be a small thing in the present, it can be a huge, massive thing in the future. Look at the story of Esau and Jacob. Esau, he was hungry and he asked his brother for food. And guess what? He practically ate his birthright. You know, it looked like nothing. I'm getting food. It's just my birthright. It's not a big deal. But if you dig deeper into scripture, we see the very horrible, horrible, horrible outcomes of that one small bad decision. Let me tell you this. There's no such thing as a small bad decision. When you make a bad decision, it's like sowing a seed. A big harvest is going to come from it. So just be very careful. Ask yourself, this thing I'm doing now, what's the outcome of it? It's better to stop right now than to keep going, because you're sowing seeds, you're sowing seeds, you're sowing seeds. Look at how enormous the harvest can be. Do you really want to deal with that harvest? Do you really want to deal with that harvest? So just be careful of the seeds you sow. As a parent, what kinds of seeds are you sowing into your children? Are you sowing good seeds into their lives? Or are you sowing bad seeds? Again, you determine your child's future by the kinds of seeds you are sowing into them. You really need to be careful. The next idea I want to discuss is watch the ground you sow on. You may have good seed, but if you sow it in the wrong ground, then you will not get a reward. Or that seed may die. Because the fact that a seed was sown does not mean that that seed will bring forth any kind of fruit. It's just like, for example, you see some people, you know, they have the money to invest. And then they put their money in something that is just horrible, horrible and horrendous. And then they lose everything. Watch the ground you sow on. I mean, if you even look at it in agriculture, there are certain things that will grow on the East Coast that will not grow on the West Coast. So again, be careful. What kind of ground are you sowing a certain seed on? Because again, there are certain grounds you can sow a seed on and that seed will die. Or you get like a twofold return. But then there are other grounds where it's the same seed you sow and you get much higher returns. You get a 30-fold return, a 60-fold return, a 100-fold return. In fact, Jesus alluded to this in a parable that he gave in the New Testament, where, you know, you have a bunch of people, they are all exposed to the word of God. But some, that word doesn't profit their lives. Others, they get 30-fold returns, 60-fold returns, 100-fold returns. One of the things that can control the yield of a seed is the ground that that seed was sown on. One of the things that controls the yield of a seed is the ground where that seed was sown. The other idea I also want to express is, what are the conditions that surround your seed sowing? What are the conditions? Again, for seeds to grow, for seeds to bring fruit and bring a harvest, the right conditions have to be there. It's like trying to grow something in the kind of weather that does not support it. Again, all that effort is going to be massively, massively, massively wasted. So just make sure that you have the right conditions. How can you apply this to your Christian life? Well, if you're asking God for something, check the Bible. What are the conditions around that thing? Many times when God is telling you, oh, this is a blessing I have for you, usually God will show you the things you need to do. Like, for example, look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. The first half of Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings for obedience. And then the second half talks about the curses for disobedience. So if you have the right conditions in place, God's blessings will come. To be honest with you, everything in life is not prayer. You see some people, they're praying, 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 praying. I'm not saying praying is wrong. Even the Bible says you should pray. There's nothing wrong with prayer. But if your works are not consistent with your faith, then you're not really helping yourself. If, for example, you're praying, God, please help me succeed academically. God, please help me succeed academically. But you're not studying, doing nothing. Then your faith, your supposed faith that you're expressing in prayer is not consistent with your works. You're not going to get anything out of it. Because you see some people, they're like, God is so wicked. God is not helping me. No. Okay. Did you play your part? Did you play your part? Certain things are not about prayer. It's about just putting your head down and simply obeying the word of God. The Bible says, yes, that one man that's diligent in his business, he'll stand before kings. He will not stand before mean men. Do you own a business? Has God put something in your hands? Are you diligent with it? If you're diligent with it, you will succeed and prosper because you're literally operating by your spiritual law. These are laws that God has put in place. When you put in the right input, you will get the right output from it. That is just the truth. And then the final idea I want to express today is, what do you do with your harvest? What do you do with your harvest? So some people, you know, they've sown good seeds. They've gotten a good harvest. But then they massively mismanage that harvest. You see some people, you know, they hit some kind of financial windfall. They're like, wow, God, thank you. You've blessed me so much. But then within a year, those people are in a worse off situation than when they were before they even started sowing seeds. What happened? They mismanaged their harvests. You see some people, after they get a big financial windfall, their cost of living just increases astronomically. No, it shouldn't be that way. The fact that you're earning more does not mean that you should go overboard in the way you live your life. Or you see some people, they make an investment, the investment pans out, and they're like, I must be a really smart person. And then they double down, and then they lose everything. I'm telling you, sometimes, after you've gotten a great windfall, you need to sit down and think. Be very careful. Because just as quickly as you have made a great harvest, you can lose it. You can absolutely lose those things. I have seen that happen so many times. And then I guess the one final idea I also want to mention is, don't stop applying the principles that made you successful in the first place. You see some people, you know, they get a great harvest because they apply diligent, persistent effort in a tried and true method. But then sometimes after they get that harvest, that initial harvest, they become very greedy. They're like, wow, this thing I invested in only 2x'd my money. Let me do this wonderful, very esoteric thing that 10x's my money. And then they lose everything. You don't want to be in that situation. I've seen this so many times. Both personally myself, and also just from experiences I've heard from other people. Don't be unwise, right? If something worked, there's something my pastor in my church says. If something is working, you're getting good results from it, just keep doing it. We see some people, the diligent, persistent labor that helped them get something, they're like, no, this is too slow. I want to fast track. And then they fast track and then lose it all. Then what's the point? Again, if you build something stage by stage, there's nothing wrong with it. The people that you see that get wealthy and retain that wealth, they're people that make sound, consistent decisions. Warren Buffett did not become a billionaire by trying out every newfangled investment or meme stock out there. But you see some people, they become very wealthy from one good investment and then they lose it all and then some by trying new things that are outside of their circle of competence. Again, it shouldn't be so. You can grow steadily. It's better to grow steadily than to say, let me try the esoteric and then you lose everything. So I'm really trusting God that we'll be wise with the harvest that the Lord has given us. So I want to offer you an opportunity if you know that you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know that you were once a Christian, but now you have turned your back on God. Again, God is willing to accept you back. He's a wonderful God. He's a good God. He sent his son to die for you on the cross. So if you want to take those steps, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I am a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross to save me from sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And Father, I pray for people that have just given their lives to you. I pray, Lord, that you give them the wisdom and the grace to not go back to the world, to live a life of persistent holiness. And as they do so, Lord, let your plans and purposes for their lives be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. And I also pray for each and every one of us that are listening to this podcast, including myself. Lord, please give us the grace to be wise in seed sowing. If we've sown any bad seeds in the past, Lord, please uproot those seeds. Your word says that whatsoever my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted, shall be rooted out. Father, root out those bad seeds we have sown. Let us not reap the harvest of the bad seeds that we have sown. But Lord, give us the grace to start sowing good seeds. And as we do so, let our present and let our future be all right. And Lord, the seeds of the past that we have sown that were good, Lord, let those seeds begin to bring forth great harvests according to your word in the name of Jesus. And Father, I also pray that you help us to sow on the right ground. You help us to sow under the right conditions. You give us discernment in seed sowing. We will not mismanage our harvests, but instead we will continue to grow steadily for the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, Most High God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, for those that say the prayer of salvation, congratulations, you're a child of God. There are three things you should do. Number one, find a Bible. Find a translation you understand. I love the New Living Translation. Read it. Do what it says. And it will tell you all about the love of God. You can actually start in the book of John. I'll just encourage you, find a Bible reading plan you can follow so that you are consistent. Again, even if you're not reading 10, you don't have to read 10 chapters a day. Even if it's like one verse or five verses you can do, but just do it consistently. And as you're doing that, as you're reading the word, make sure you're actually obeying it. And then you'll see prospering your life. Second thing is, listen to episodes 96 to 101. Episodes 96 to 101. Those podcasts are titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you some critical things you need to do so that you can grow in your walk with God. And then finally, find a Bible-believing church. Notice I did not say find a church. Find a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches these days, but they preach things that are inconsistent with the Word of God, or they twist the Word of God around, or they just condone many things that are not in line with Scripture. That is not a place you want to be. For me, I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. It's a wonderful church, but there are also many great churches all over the world. Just make sure you find a Bible-believing church, fellowship with other believers, do the will of God, and all will be well with you. Until the next episode on Sunday, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Shalom.